Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. God spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael. V'yikhu li teruma. Let them take me a teruma. Zesh omar kosuv, ki koyo mar Hashem. So says God, Borei Hashemayim, creator of the heaven. Hu elokim, he is God. Yoytze ha'oretz, who forms the earth, v'oyse oviseho, hu koinono. He sets it up. Loi toihu bor, God did not create it for chaos and void. L'shevas yitzor, but it was created to be settled. Ani Hashem ve'imoid, I'm God, there is no other. So the Ishbitzer brings this verse from Isaiah, really the words that are cogent to what we're saying is this Loi toihu bor. God did not create the earth to create a void in people's lives or to create chaos in people's lives. L'shevas yitzor is created for the purpose of being dwelt. What does that mean? He says like this, Lihiyois ki bepashis Yisroi, when we were receiving the Torah, the Ten Commandments at Sinai, kasher shamu Yisroi l'saseres adibrois, when the Jewish people heard the Ten Commandments, we thought this is going to be a cinch, it's going to be easy. Because the Ten Commandments are fairly simple. You do or you don't, and whatever you do, it's up to you. Whatever you don't do, it's up to you. Right? You're going to keep Shabbos, you're not going to keep Shabbos. You're going to honor your parents, not going to honor your parents. You're going to thieve, you're going to kill, what are you going to do? Right? So, people had the impression to begin with that being a Jew, it's simple. It's just, it's what you do. Ach, but, achar kach ka'ashe nemelehem pashas mishpotim, when we went from that rooftop, you know, when we plunged into the cellar, and we came to last week's portion of the week, which was the judgments, the sentences. Hainu, we discovered Sherotzen Hashem Yisborach, that the will of God is not that we just do what we're supposed to do, but Sheispashit Kedushosoi V'Avodosoi B'Libos Yisrael Ad Sheispashit Gam Al Kinyonam, that we have to be Jews, so it's not just us, but that's everything that we own is Jewish. Hashaychim la'odam, everything that belongs to me has to be Jewish. Shelo yuchlu la'as is dover shelo kedos, that even if I own an animal, that animal couldn't do anything against the law or couldn't hurt anybody because it's mine. You know, if I live in such a way that not only I don't hurt anybody, but those things that I have and my possessions, they also couldn't hurt anybody. That requires more than just lip service. And that requires more than just I take care with what I do. Because what it means is that my table and my chairs have to be Shabbistic, right? It means that my kitchen and my bedroom, it means that everything that I have has to be part of something holy. So there arose in the heart of the Jewish people a cry. How is it possible to purify a heart to the state where it really, it doesn't just, it's not just the person, but that everything surrounding the person, the environment, everything belonging to the person and associated, everything that is drawn to and connected, that it's all part of, you know, something really beautiful, something really intrinsically, you know, not harmful and toxic to the world. You know, sometimes, you know, when you look on the Hechsher, you look on the ingredients of kosher food, right? And it's hard to believe, you know, that I can give a Hechsher, I can say kosher on something, you know, that the food doesn't have any nutritional value. And, you know, if you were to just pour it down the drain, you would be like contaminating the landfill, you know. You know, we say kosher on food where the packaging contains more nutrition than the actual thing stuff you eat, right? So It's not enough to be kosher, right? It's not enough. Ali de ze. So, what did God do? Nosan Hashem Yisborach Eitz Elohem. God gives the Jewish people a way. Bezu HaSedra. In this week's portion, God says, okay, it seemed like an insurmountable task, but listen, this is how it's done. V'yikhu li truma. Let the Jewish people take me an offering. Zohav, gold, v'chesev, and silver, v'nechoshes, and copper. V'yisim b'zohar HaKodesh, and we learn in the Zohar, shehu neged ha'yisoydeis ha'nimtsoim ba'odam, that the precious metals and the various materials and fabrics and, you know, all the stuff that went into the creation and the fabrication of the temple, of the tabernacle, that they're not just metals, right? They're not just red wool and blue wool. Then it's not that they represent things inside us. V'hu sheyimtzei ha'odam, what's the bottom line? What's the metaphor? That a person has to give over kol yisoydoisa v'koychoysov la'Hashem Yisborach. You have to surrender all everything that you are. You have to give it over to God. Shehu yishloid behem kiritzoino yisborach. We've spoken many times how, you know, one of the central Torahs of Ishbitz is that you have to keep on giving everything back. Right. So if God hands you a car and the keys, right, don't take it. Right. You give the keys back and say, I'm not driving this car without you, right? I don't want to drive this car my own. You know, everything that God gives us, unless we give it back, it's not a blessing, right? Because if God gives me something and I take it, and it's all mine, then it's not connected anymore, right? Everything that God gives me, I have to give it back. And that's the answer to the dilemma of how do I live a life where everything in my life is holy? And the answer is, you know, that I don't own anything, but that I give everything back to the Creator. And I say to God, you know, you be the driver. And if I do that with all the things that I own, then the things that I own are not going to be toxic or dangerous. And we have a similar teaching in the Zohar on the verse, Ashrei Odom, Loyachshev Hashem loyovoin ve'im beruchoy remio. The verse says, lucky is the man whom God gives credit to with no sin, or that God doesn't, you know, credit that person with sin, in whose heart there is no guile, right? So the Zohar Kodesh says, wait a minute, if the person has got no guile in their heart, right, so why would, what's the big thing that God doesn't consider that he sinned? The person doesn't have guile, so obviously he didn't sin. Why? It should say first, you know, blessed is the man who doesn't have guile in his heart. And the Ishbitz explains, what does it mean that God doesn't reckon or God doesn't credit a person with sin? It doesn't mean that you haven't done anything wrong. You know, we all do stuff wrong, you know, that's not the point. It's really not the point, you know. You know, I look at my child, there are, you know, there's a chocolate babka in the fridge and there's gummy bears, you know, in the drawer over there. And this is, and if I say to the child, you know, I'm going to bed now, I'm going to be out all Shabbos afternoon, I want you here to entertain yourself and don't eat any of the babka and don't go for those gummy bears and stuff like that, you know. I mean, I know I'm going to get up for mincha and there's going to be a trail of candy wrappers all over the floor, right? The thing is, you know, God isn't expecting us always to make the right decisions. What is it that God is expecting us? That our heart always be in the right place. Ishbitz says, "K'she'ein haruach chaim shelo noita l'shum tzad, rak l'rotzen Hashem Yisborach." If the life force, not the decisions that we make, right? The decisions that we make are very often colored by very short-term gains, instant gratification, and so on and so on. But the Ruach Chaim, right? The life force that pumps through us, the pulse. Where, in what direction does that bend, right? Where, to what is that drawn? Right? What is the strongest magnet that is pulling on my life? If it's God, that's what God wants. V'im yoyim ha'odam, and if a person says, Eich eshe lezakech liboy kol kach, how is it possible that I'm going to purify my heart and that, you know, it's I'm going to be so holy that you know, everything that I own is going to be holy? Al zeh ne'emar lo yitoyu bo. This is the meaning that God didn't create the world to create a vacuum or create an empty space, a void, a chaos. God doesn't want me to be afraid, all the time of doing something wrong. You know, being Jewish is not about being afraid of doing something wrong. It's like, what am I drawn to? What is my deepest desire? If you could open up my heart, what would you find there? V'zeh gam ken pirush, and this is also the meaning of the verse, Loi b'seisa dibarati, I didn't talk, God says, in hiding. B'mkoim eretz choshech, loi amarati l'zera Yaakov, toyu b'kshuni. I didn't talk in the dark, in the land of darkness. I didn't say to the seed of Yaakov, you know, you come looking for me in vain. Ani Hashem doi v'tzedek, I am God who speaks righteousness. Magid meshorim. Magid meshorim, the only way to really translate the verse is like, God advocates the easy way. What does it mean, God advocates the easy way? So the Ishbitzer says, Lo yamati lezer Yaakov toyu bikshuni. I didn't say to the children of Jacob, you know, you seek me in vain, because you're never gonna, you know, you're failures. You know, God doesn't say, right, oh look, I gave you such easy goals and you keep on, you know, failing, and here we are thousands of years later and I'm still waiting for one set of Jews to keep Shabbos properly, you know. God doesn't say that. L'shevis yitzara. God says, I created the world, l'shevis, to be dwelt in, you know. I created it, you know, for you to have peace of mind in it. Shiyelo odom yishva das, a person should be able to be serene in the world. You know, so much of the way that we understand Judaism and the way that we understand the Torah, and you know, that its whole purpose is there to set us on edge, you know, to set our teeth on edge, you know, and it's so not true. It's so not what Yiddishkeit is about. It's so not what the Torah is about. And the Ishbitzer says, you know, the Torah, what does God say? I don't want much from you, right? I just want everything, right? And it's true, you know, that the Torah does speak that way, right? On the one hand, you know, it's like, I'm not asking very much, I'm just asking everything, right? But when we look at the way the Torah is set out, and sometimes it just seems that the standards are so high, and, you know, it's so easy to fall short. So the Ishbitzer says it's really important to remember, and this is the meaning of this parasha. God says, make me a holy place and I will come and dwell inside you. And, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just, which way are you leaning? Ani Hashem doivet tzedek magid meishorim haynu she'av she'Hashem yizborach chofet shi'o odam tzadik v'noki. It's true that ultimately, you know, God wants us to be righteous and clean, right? To have clean hands. B'chol ho'inyonim, in every aspect and area of our life, v'yikayim kol ha'targ mitzvahs, and you know, everybody has the same duties, you know, to fulfill the commandments, the 613, right? Im kol zeh, nevertheless, nikro magid meshorim, God's name is magid meshorim, the advocate of the easy path. Hayne b'yashrus, God comes to us with, you know, straightness, you know, honest dealing, or benidva slave, and with good heart, you know, God, they're not coming at us, you know, nitpicking. You know, God doesn't, you know, it's not like a speed trap, you know, that God builds the road that can take a car doing 140 miles an hour, and then, you know, he busts us for doing more than 55, you know. That's entrapment, to sit by the side of the road with a radar, you know, and try and catch people so that you can give them, you know, tickets and fines. That's not nidva slave. Alho Adam. And God gives us the ways and the means and the advice and the coaching and the guidance so that we can arrive where we're supposed to go easily, you know, with gently. And so the Ishbitzer comes back again, you know, says, and what is the way, right? I know that I'm going to fall off the top of the roof and I'm going to plunge down into the cellar. So, like, what is the way? V'yikhuli terumah. And the answer is, take me an offering of your silver, your gold, your love, your fear, all those things inside you that are your characteristics. You have to come and offer them up. So the Ishbitzer brings an interesting medrash. The medrash says, V'yikhu li truma isa b'medrash kohen ama'oretz mutalech la'kivroi teruma. If you have a kohen, a priest, who is an ignoramus, then you're allowed to eat on his grave, you're allowed to eat truma. Everybody knows that truma is one of those holy things, that if it comes in touch with anything that is unholy, unclean tummy, then you're not allowed to eat it. And before you could eat truma, you had to go to the mikveh, and of course not everybody could eat truma. Only a kohen could eat truma. So the idea that you could sit on somebody's grave and eat teruma, well, you can't eat teruma unless you're a Kohen, right? So, but if you're a Kohen, you can't go into a graveyard anyway. You have no business there. So, what's the meaning of this medrash? What does it mean? What's it a metaphor? The reason why teruma, why, you know, if you take a tithe, if you have, you grow one of the seven different kinds of the fruits of the land, like wheat or barley or grapes, pomegranates, figs and dates or olives, right? So you grow them, and then at the end of the harvest you set aside 10%, you know, to give to the Levi, and he sets aside, you know, 1% to give to the Kohen, and so on. These bits that you've set aside, the terumah, it is holy, right? We're not allowed to contaminate it. We're not allowed to touch it. If we ourselves are not clean and holy and haven't been to the mikveh, right? What is this? You know, we take just food that grew up. It's produce that came out of the ground, right? It's just, there's nothing miraculous about, you know, this sheaf of corn compared to this sheaf of corn, right? But I say this sheaf of corn is teruma. I'm going to give it to the Kohen. As soon as I say it, right, it becomes holy. Basically, I shouldn't touch it. I should call up the Kohen on the telephone and say to him, you know, at the bottom of my field, I've left some hay there in the haystack there, and, you know, there's some wheat that belongs to you. Come and pick it up. He go to the mikveh, right, and he'll come with his family, and they'll take it home, and they'll eat it in their special way, right? Where does the holiness of the, where's the intrinsic, what's special about it? When did it, how did it become special, right? It becomes special, Baba Akoyanim Shiyoichlo is Bigdusha. Because God says, I want you to set it aside for the Kohen, and he's going to eat it in a very holy way, right? He's going to, the oral Torah begins, Masechet Brachos, begins Me'emasai Koren Kriya Shema B'Arvis. When do we start to say the Shema at night? This is when you see the Kohen come back from the mikveh. Right? We used to live in it, you know, as Jews we used to live in the land, and we were an agricultural people. We didn't really have even a word for a trader. We used to call him a Canaanite, right? Anybody who used to sell things, you know, a traveling salesman, to us he was a Canaani, right? Because we were agricultural people. And, you know, we didn't watch the clock. There weren't clocks. We used to watch the Kohen. When he came home to eat, we knew it was nighttime to say the Shema. Right? We were bound, our lives and the lives of the farmer and the lives of the Kohen, we were, you know, we were an agrarian community, right? The holiness of the food was because we were all part of the ritual. Ubim lo hoy kohanim ba'olam, and if had there been no kohen priests in the world, lo hoy ba'atruma shum kedusha, then the truma wouldn't have any holiness. It wouldn't have any intrinsic holiness. It's only holy because it's part of something greater. Ulechein mitzad hakohen shu'am oretz. So if you have a kohen who is an ignoramus and he's not going to know how to treat the teruma that you've given him in a holy way, it's as though there was no kohen, and lo nimtza ba'teruma shum kedusha mitzidoy. So there wouldn't be any intrinsic holiness in the food that you set aside for him. So Zeh Pirush HaMedrash Be'ikro Litruma Li L'Shmi. Take it for my namesake. You know, very often when we do Jewish rituals, right, we do them thinking the motive that we're doing them, you know, is, well, basically it's not the motive, it's not the real one, right? Rashi says at the beginning of this week, Ve'ikro Li, let them take me. Why doesn't the Torah begin this week's Seder saying, V'yikhu, let them take a truma? Why V'yikhu li, let them take it to me, says God, right? Take it to me. Because it doesn't matter if I give tzedakah, if I give charity to somebody on the street because they look so destitute, that's not really what the world is about, you know? Because if I give tzedakah only because I see somebody and looking at their pain hurts me, then there's going to come a time when I see somebody and my heart is going to close for whatever reason. Oh, he's an alcoholic. If I give him the money, you know what he's going to do with it? He's going to buy drinks. He's going to go home and beat up his children. If what, you know, even the kindest, most open-hearted thing that I do, if I do it because of my emotions, right, or because of my vision of how the world ought to be, and that person ought to have clothes, so I'm going to give him clothes, right? That is not how the Torah works, and it's not also not how to make a better world. It doesn't work, because, you know, then people start to make rules about who you should give, who you shouldn't give, why you should do, what you should do. You can't make the world run on your logic, because you'll always find somebody who has the total opposite logic, right? He thinks you should euthanize all the poor people, right? He thinks you should lock them away and drop them down a hole in the ground, right? He also, for the same reason, because he doesn't want to see people without clothes. Unless God is at the center of everything that I do, even the kindest act of charity isn't going to have a result to make a better world. V'yikhu li. God says the only way to make everything work is v'yikhu li. Take it for my name's sake. When I give tzedakah to somebody, I need to say, I'm doing this for the sake of God. Right? When I give somebody something to eat, if I invite somebody to my house and they're a guest in my house and I give them a plate of soup, and, you know, on the one hand I want to say, ah, you know, I'm giving this because this person really is hungry, and I, you know, I'm a, it's not about God then, it's about me. And it's not going to have the effect of fixing the world. V'yikhu li truma, God says, let it be for my name's sake. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how holy you make things. It doesn't work. Hainu goydol kedushas ha-truma, the only reason that the truma is holy is l'fi shenifreshes l'shem Hashem, because it's set aside for the name of God. V'yikhu li truma, now let's look at it another way. Let them take me an offering. Al pi masha pirashnu b'posuk, this is fits in, says Ishbita, with what we learned about the verse in Proverbs. Oirachaim lemala lemaskil. What does it mean? The path of life is on top for the wise. Well, that doesn't sound so smart. What does that mean? Shezeh ho'ikav v'hareshis b'chol dover. The Ishbita says, you know, what this Pasha is telling me is that a person needs to prioritize their life. Ve'yikhu li, let them take me, teruma. The word teruma, the root of the word is roim, Naharim, to raise, right? The Ishbitzi says, to raise, what does it mean to raise? You know, we use this metaphor, oh, and the thing was really, you know, raised on high, and it made it very, what does it mean in practical terms, right? So, litid al liboy sha'ir chaim lamala, a person has to make a conscious effort to put life at the top. Hainish Hashem yizborach, shehu noisin chaim rechush l'chol odam hu lamala. We have to put God at the top of every list, of every prioritizing. God has to be at the top, because, you know, in every thing that you do in your life, subconsciously you make lists. What have I got to do first? What do I have to do next? Right? Some things are always on top, right? And Ishbitzi says, life only works if you put God on the top. God says, you have to take me on high. You have to make me first, says God. And this is the meaning of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, where do you, when you're making hamoitzi on the bread, and you're about to eat the bread, so where do you cut the bread, or like, where do you break the bread? From where the bread is most crusty, where, you know, the baking advanced the most. So the Ishbitz explains, Kmo de'isa b'mesecht de'brochus, says, La'shem ha'oretzim lo'yo. The Gemara asks a question. On the one hand, we say in Psalm 24, the world belongs to God. Everything in it belongs to God. And then there's another verse that says, Hashemayim shemayim la'shem, the heavens belong to God, v'ha'oretz nosan livnei adam, but the earth is given to man. So the Gemara says, how do you reconcile these, you know, contradictions? In one verse it says everything is God's, and the other says God gave the earth to us. So the Gemara answers, kan koidem brocha, kan la'acha brocha. Before you make a blessing, before you make a brocha, everything belongs to God. After you make the brocha, it belongs to you. So the Ishbitzi says, this is the same logic in this as in the previous memra where the Gemara said, where do you make the brocha from? Where do you make the bracha on the bread? You make the bracha on the bread by the crusty part. What does that mean? Heichen hu ha-hakora b'zeh ha-kikar sh'Hashem yizborach hu ha-noisen. When I hold a piece of bread in my hand, how can I, which part of the bread tells me or is a reminder that God makes bread? That everything, that God is the baker of the bread, and that everything in this bread, down to the energy, is God's. Where? Well, you know, I took the grain, I cut it, I threshed it, I winnowed it, and then I ground it up into flour, right? I added water and salt and yeast and oil, and I kneaded it, and then I shaped it, and then I baked it, right? Where is God in this? There are so many levels of work, you know, that go into making bread, that it's a great candidate for forgetting. You know, if I go to a tree and I take off a bunch of grapes and I eat them, it's easy to bear in mind that the grapes, you know, they are the bounty, they are the abundance that come. But you know, it's so far removed, bread from the earth. So where's the God in the bread? So the Ishbitzi says, Mehechen de kodim bishuloi, se komasa kiko odam oise biyodav. When it comes to the bread, a person does with his hands, halisha, the kneading, haricha, the setting out, vehesekatana, the heating of the oven, v'noisen kalakika b'shovel, and then he puts the bread in a certain way in the oven, so it bakes evenly, right? V'zeh amokim shekodem nizbashel zeinu mikoyach odam. When you look at the brown crust on the bread, why did this part of the bread get crusty first, most? You can't answer that, because the truth is that even a physicist couldn't answer that. That, you know, the way the dough exchanges, you know, gets rid of the heat by evaporating the moisture and this and that. I mean, it's like, you know, there's all kinds of theories involved. You couldn't predict. When you look at the bread and you put the bread in the oven, you can't really predict which part of it is going to get brown the first, the most. Right? So, if you can't predict it, but it happens, then it's a sign, right? It's a metaphor, right? That God is in charge, even of the bread in the oven. Then a person starts to think, why did this pot get crusty first? So what can you say about it, right? It's mathematics. Yeah, this is the way God made it. Ah, this is the way God made it. Okay, so this is the place where you make the bracha, because you've already like connected God and the bread. So in everything that you do, if you put God there at the top, right, then it doesn't really matter what it is that you're doing. God is there in the top. God is the first awareness in everything that you do. You know, when you go out of the house in the morning, you sit in your car, whatever it is you do, and you become aware that there's a sky over you, and that there's light coming out of the sky. It's enough, really. We were learning today how one of the names of God is Keil Shakai, you know, which means enough. You know, because it doesn't really matter what it is that you take of the day or of your life, but there's enough there that if you want to, you see God in it. Right? Once you see God in it, it's yours. The day is yours if you can see God in it. The sky is yours. The light is yours. The bread is yours. V'yikhu li truma, take me, put me on top, and then everything is yours, says God. V'yikhu li. Another pshat, v'yikhu li truma. It's very interesting why we're talking about bread. I just want to say over the Rebbe Rabbunim, I think if I could have been a chassid 150 years ago, that's where I would have liked to have been a chassid, in Pshischa. Towards the end of his life, the Rebbe Rabbunim was blind. He used to call himself Blinde Binner. So, but that didn't stop him being Rebbe, right? So, on Friday afternoon, there was a ritual. People would bring the Rebbe challis, and the Rebbe would run his hands over the challah, and he would say, this one, yeah, this one, no, 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 this one, yeah. So the challis, which the Rebbe said no, meant that the Rebbe didn't want to make a bracha, didn't want to make a blessing, didn't want them on his table for Shabbos. The challis that he said yes, people thought there must be some deep Kabbalistic resonance in the challah, right? The Rebbe runs his hand over the challahs, and, you know, there must be some, karma. Who knows what kind of souls have been reincarnated? The Rebbe said, don't be silly. That's not what's going on. He says, you know, if you go to a bakery and you watch the baker make the bread, so he takes, you know, like a handful of dough, and he rolls it out into these snakes, and, you know, he plats it, and then he shapes it and he puts it on the board to let it rise, right? You know, he doesn't weigh it always. You know, he just cuts, like with the knife, he cuts bits of dough. He comes at the end and he sees, you know, he's got one challah there at the end, which is kind of short on weight. So he thinks to himself, somewhere here, one of these challahs is overweight. So he runs his eyes along. Let's see, he's got 20 challahs lined up there, all rising. And he looks at one and he says, you know, that one's too big. So he'll go to it, he'll go to the end, and he'll grab a piece of the dough and twist it off. So he may go to four or five, half a dozen of these challahs, decide they're a little bit overweight, and twist off a chunk of the dough, and then put it together and make it into like a roll, challah roll, right? But once the dough has risen to a certain stage, if you twist off a piece and pull it out, it leaves like a little spiral, a twist. Even after you've baked it, you could see that little twist where the baker ran his hands over it and pulled off. Right? So the Pshischa Rebbe used to say, how can you make a bracha? How can you make a blessing on a challah that before it even got baked, the maker said, you're too big. You're too big. I'm going to cut you down to size. Right? What kind of blessing could there be in such a bread that even before Nebuchadnezzar got eaten, already it's being chopped down and like told it's too big. It's too much. Right? You know, he used to run his hands over the challahs and he could tell which one of those challahs had been cut down to size because it was too darn big. He said, "What? I'm not making a bracha. Hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz. I'm not going to thank God and make Shabbos and do the whole thing, being Gan Eden with this bread that Nebuch was diminished even before it had a chance to be." There's an incredible depth in this story, you know. Because we do it all the time. You know, we do it with our children, we do it with ourselves, you know, we do it with the work that we produce, you know, we're always measuring, it's too big. It's too big, you took too much, you take too much space. Cut it down to size, reduce it, diminish it. You know, how can there be a bracha in something that always has to be diminished? That before it even began work, it had to like be reduced. V'yikcho li truma, God says, just if you just put me on top of everything, then you could just take it. Just put me on top and take it. So the Ishbitzer says, and this is from the second chilek, v'yikcho li truma, sh'tziva Hashem Yisbarach. Another explanation is shekol echad yafrish le'atzmo shor mevdeles Hashem b'chol yoyim lizboider ba'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. That every day a person has to set aside some time for God. Terumah. You have to set aside a portion, just like if you're a farmer, you have to set aside some of your produce. It doesn't matter. If you're a person, you have to set aside something of your day for God every day. V'yikcho li terumah, and that portion of the day has to be elevated. V'yikcho li terumah, another pshat. Isa b'medesh, we learn in the medesh. Yesh l'chod odom loikeach mekach. You have somebody who buys something. Yesh boi zohov, if it has silver in it, it's yesh boi zohov, it has gold in it. Ein boi kesef, it doesn't have silver in it. Yesh boi kesef, it has silver. Ein boi zohov, it doesn't have gold in it. Aval ha-mekach shenosati lechem, but God says, haha, see what I gave you. See what a bargain you got with me. Yesh kesev, yesh boi zohov, it has all kinds of, it has silver in it and gold. And Medrash continues. Yesh adam lekeach, so does he get somebody who's in real estate. He buys fields. Avaloi kromim, he doesn't buy vineyards. You buy a field, it's not a vineyard. Kromim, avaloi sodois, you buy vineyards, it's not fields. Avala mekach hazeh, God says, the Torah that I gave you, yesh boi sodois, yesh boi kromim, it has fields, it has vineyards, it has everything. So the Ishbitzer says, "Ki binyonei olam hazeh, ein bem shnei efechem misachtim ke'echad." In life, when we make choices in life, we don't get opposites. We get one or the other. Ki zov u'yira, because as we've said quite a few times, gold is a metaphor for fear of God, right? Chesev u'ahava, and silver is a metaphor for love, right? So if you choose a spiritual path that involves like fear, that's not love, right? If it's love, it's not fear. L'chein b'shorshem heim eshnei efechem, they're two opposites, right at the, you know, the way that we approach religion, you're going to decide, you know, you're going to be laissez-faire, everything goes, or are you going to be exact? U'b'shorshem einem ma'achtim bo'el ma'zeh, and you can't make things that are opposites, you can't, you know, graft them together. V'chein, you find soda hu ispashtus, you know, the idea, the metaphor of the field is somewhere you can just spread out as much as you want. V'kerem hu seydik ed isa k'shenechnu surab esenu l'kerem b'yavne, and the idea, the metaphor of the vineyard is where everything is planted in the right place, you know, it's all nice in rows, exactly 12 inches between each of the plants, and everything is trailed on a trellis and tied back so nothing can grow wild, right? So the two ideas of a field and a vineyard are diametrically opposed. Avo bedivrei Torah, but if you're living life as a Jew, nimtzoim, lo hafechim, they're not opposites. Umisachtim sham ke'echad lavid behemis Hashem Yisborach, because you can tremble before God with love. And this is what v'yikchu li terumo, God says, you can take me anyway. I go every way. And it doesn't matter, you know, even in your own life, it doesn't have to be one way. It can be zov, chesev, and nechoshes, tcheles, agoman. It can be all kinds of things. You know, Shlomi used to say, only a thief has to be really careful to keep all his stories aligned, right? A con man has got to be like really, really careful not to contradict himself, right? Real people are full of contradictions. Yeah, today I say I like it, tomorrow I say I don't like it. Today I'm davening like crazy, tomorrow I don't want to put my tefillin on, right? Today I keep Shabbos and everything, single thing. I wouldn't dream of tearing a piece of toilet paper. And next week, I can't make it, right? How is that? Zov, kesev, nechoshes, v'yikholi, God says, it's okay. Anyway, it's all right. It doesn't have to be consistent. You don't have to be. Because that's the whole point about being a Jew, is that when you buy the Torah, you buy the whole thing. You know, fields and vineyards and cities and, you know, it's agrarian, it's agriculture, it's urban. It's whatever you want it to be. And it's okay if it's more than one thing. And there's nobody, you know, there's no police out there to make sure that once you've chosen one path, that you stick to it and that you don't deviate. It's interesting that the one Torah that's not here in this list, because we've had five or six different versions of the same pasuk, v'yikholi, let them take to me, right? It's v'yikholi, let them take me. That really all this, everything that we've been talking, is really what we've been talking around, right? The bottom line is v'yikholi. God says, take me. You know, because a person can take the Torah and still leave God behind, right? I mean, I can get caught up with the Torah and I start to worship the halacha, or I start to worship some aspect of the Torah and I'm not really worshiping God. Right? God says, v'yikholi, take me. It's a beautiful medrash. We have another time. We have time. V'isisa, alright, so here's the Torah. V'sisa menorah zov tohar, make a menorah of pure gold. G'vi'eho, it's cups, it's bechers. Kaftoireho, it's kneplach, it's knobs. Uprocheho, it's blimen, it's flowers. Mimena yeh, the menorah had to be made of one piece of gold, and it's not like different elements were added to it, or that it was like an armature on which they put different, like, washers and stuff. It had to be made of one solid piece. Gevi'eho, Vishbitz says the cups on the menorah, on the arms of the menorah, neged Avram Avinu, shorishin shepirsem es Hashem Yisborach ba'olam, because Avraham made the world into a vessel for God. V'tiken akle kabola lekabel tomid hashba me'Hashem Yisborach. So this is what we have to have in our menorah. Every person in themselves has to have Avraham Avinu, who can make the world into a becher, into a beaker to which the flow of abundance can come. Kafto ireho, the knobs on the arms of the menorah, and you know the arms of the menorah are the Jewish people, right? Who neged Yitzchak Avinu, that corresponds to our father Isaac, ki kafto mera al blita mufureshes, because a knob is something that sticks out. That's the whole point of it, is that it sticks out, it is prominent. Ki inyan kach shema Moshe mipi hagvura. This, the Gemara says, Moshe heard it so from the mouth of Gevura. Shehudova boilet umafurish, this is something that sticks out. Umidas Yitzchok, and the Midah of Yitzchok, ule histalik min asofik, is to take himself, if there's a gray area, then he stays away from it. Rak kisheroya rotzen Hashem yisbaruch mefoyresh, az nechnis lahadova hazeh va'oyses ois. It's only when he sees something sticking out, like Yitzchak Avinu never did something if it wasn't clear to him that God wants him to do it. If it was sticking out, it was boilet mefoyresh, then he would do it. Uprocheho, and the flowers on the menorah, hu neged Yaakov Avinu, that corresponds to Yaakov, ki lo hoyu lo blitzu mefureshes. Yaakov never in his life had anything absolutely clear that he has to do. B'shum dover, in anything. Yan shoye nechlo mishneem, because Yaakov Avinu was, that was the path that he was given, that nothing was ever really clear, that everything was always a little bit this and a little bit that. And Yaakov Avinu had to find inside himself, he had to find what it is that he felt that he had to do. L'chein b'chol rego b'chol mokem shepona atzmoi hoye lo yira. So Yaakov, wherever, because he never received the clear instruction of what to do, so wherever he turned, there was always an element of fear. And that's why it says v'hanoiro in the Shemoyne Esra, we say hakel hagodol hagibor v'hanoiro. Hagodol refers to Avraham Avinu, hagibor refers to Yitzchak Avinu, hanoiro, the awesome, refers to Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov is awe. What is awe? Awe always has a little bit of fear inside it. And the Zohar Kodesh says that wherever there is awe, there is perfection. That is really a sign of the perfection. And awe does not mean fear. Awe is tremendous simcha, joy, celebration. That the sign that fear is holy is that it is accompanied with tremendous celebration. Simcha, gewalt. V'zeh nikra perach, and this is the meaning of a flower. Dovedak moit, something very, very fine. Thank you. If you could just wait a moment. Is everybody here?